Hello and welcome to another episode of Hanks-A-Lot, the comprehensive and encyclopedic podcast examining chronologically the many films of Mr. Tom Hanks. I am your host, Kent Shelton, and joining me this week, as always, from Hollywood, California, is our film critic at large, Mr. Trace Oakley. And from Seattle, Washington, the city where the disposable diaper was invented, our musical director, the supersonic Mr. Kevin Dennis. Hello, gentlemen. Welcome to the big show.
Hello. And I have one of those original disposable diapers framed in my living room to remind me of the roots of the city and what we should all be paying attention to.
Procter & Gamble, they bought a wood pulp factory in the state of Washington and said, what are we going to do with all this wood pulp?
And they said, depends.
And a grad student at the University of Washington named Victor Mills designed the disposable diaper for them, and it was invented right there in Seattle, Washington. Fascinating diaper lore for our...
The quality of this show just keeps going up and up. And
a lot of our fans are also listening to my show, Pampers Cast, that I do every week, just all about the history of diapers. Little crossover episode.
If you're deciding on which podcast to listen to, don't make a rash decision.
And I, of course,
whatever you do.
And it goes hand in hand with my review of Lynyrd Skynyrd's song, Ooh, That Smell. So
there you go. All right. Well, this week we are here.
I'm so excited because I know you guys know kind of my tastes. And I'm so thrilled about this because I never miss a Tom Hanks musical.
Yeah, well,
this week is very, very exciting for me.
Very good.
I'm terrified.
We're going to be talking about a little movie called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, where Tom Hanks plays famed children's television presenter Fred Rogers, who for many years hosted a children's show. It was just sort of like an intervention for children that came on TV every afternoon. It's a movie. We watched it, and I think we should start by reviewing this movie. So let's hear that review song.
Well, now it's time for the review. Trace, please tell us, what is your view?
The 2019 film, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, is about a hero. This hero works hard, takes his job seriously, despite frequent criticism and mocking. He is so dedicated, he sometimes annoys, even antagonizes those around him. He has a purist view of what he does, and many fail to understand how that drives a person. The story begins with Lloyd Vogel, a tough investigative journalist for Esquire, being assigned to write a brief puff piece. This isn't what he does, as he reminds his editor. The magazine is doing an issue on heroes. Many will be profiled, but only one agreed to be interviewed by Lloyd, who carries with him a bit of a reputation. He asks questions that make people uncomfortable. He delves, he makes people squirm, he makes enemies. His calls often don't get returned. He hears no comment a lot. But one of the people anointed as hero by the Monthly has no problem facing the harsh scrutiny of Lloyd. It's Fred Rogers, a.k.a. Mr. Rogers, famed and beloved children's TV host. Lloyd pisses and moans because he feels this is a waste of time, maybe punishment for not being a model employee, but he hops a train to Pittsburgh to meet this television icon. Sometimes you take your car in for a standard $60 oil change and drive it away having dropped several hundred because the exhaust valve or spark plugs or spark valves or exhaust plugs or this filter was messing up this other filter and the rest of the filters caught this virus that you don't have to have them all replaced, but I can in good faith let you walk out of here without cautioning you against. Sometimes you visit a shrink because you're having trouble sleeping, and after one session, you find yourself holding prescription slips for Prozac and Doxepin because, well, take two and don't call me in the morning. Sometimes your computer tells you you must install an upgrade and you stop what you're doing and follow its instructions and log off and restart, and it doesn't seem to work as well, even if you could find everything, which you can't. Sometimes, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Sometimes, perfectly healthy, productive people find themselves the victims of an unusual disorder called Munchausen syndrome by proxy, wherein a family member, loved one, or caregiver seeks medical help for non-existent symptoms. The film's story actually begins at a wedding. Check that. There's a framing device, money pit, framing device, money pit. Tastes great, less filling. There actually are two. Mr. Rogers shows some photos behind many Let's Make a Deal-style doors, one of which shows ace reporter Lloyd with a smashed-up nose and bloody face. Then there's a money pit, framing device, where Vogel accepts a prize at an awards ceremony. Don't worry. He isn't carried in and sobered up like Bruce Willis in, what was that movie? Who Framed Mr. Rogers' Device? A Pit Full of Money. Anyway, the story begins in earnest at a wedding. Lloyd's sister, a rough-around-the-edges gal, is getting hitched to a regular guy, and they invited Dad, a long-estranged figure in their lives, who cheated a lot on Mom before he walked out on her after a cancer diagnosis. She died soon after, and Pops has never re-entered the picture. But he shows up at the wedding, gets drunk, and sings something stupid. Literally. The younger Vogel has not forgiven Dad, and the two have words, and son punches father. Lloyd's wife clutches their newborn son in horror and chides her husband. Days later, after reluctantly accepting the Mr. Rogers assignment, Lloyd finds himself on the set of the famous TV show. Fred asks Lloyd about his hurt face, and Lloyd briefly references his poor relationship with Dad. Another interview follows where Mr. Rogers dodges questions and pulls out his beloved puppets to speak for him. The journalist angrily concludes the session. He goes home to find Dad and the cheat bait who stuck at his apartment with wife and baby. More tensions ensue as Dad explains that he's finally grown up and learned how to live his life, like getting drunk at the wedding of your long-lost daughter. He gets upset at Lloyd, calling him out, and has a heart attack. Now burning the midnight oil at a hospital where Dad is recovering, Lloyd upsets his wife by departing back to Pittsburgh to further work on the Rogers story. Back on the set, Lloyd collapses, has a dream, then winds up recuperating at the Magic Kingdom, the Rogers home. He then visits his dad's home where wife, son, sis, and the jerk she married are gathering as Dad takes some final breaths and laments that he's finally figured out how to live his life, like stalking his son outside his apartment. Mr. Rogers and his wife show up and Fred says some magic words about death and Jesus and Dad goes peacefully. Lloyd's story is a hit, much longer than intended, and makes the cover. Lloyd promises to be a better father, husband, person, and worse journalist. The film is a mishmash of half-realized ideas, mawkish sentimentality, lots and lots of cheap manipulation and Christian proselytizing that is subtle until it isn't. The dialogue is obvious, the story turns are obvious, the behaviors and reactions are obvious, and the film seems to conspicuously avoid getting to know Mr. Rogers. It is, after all, a film where a guy asks Rogers lots of questions. Yet there isn't a single sustained scene where anything meaningful is revealed. It's question, tidy platitude, question, feel-good word salad, question, puppets. The dream sequence is so mind-numbingly awful, incomprehensible, and yet somehow doggedly obvious, that in a less soft-brained society, it would be the highlight of midnight Rocky Horror-style showings of this film. Matthew Rhys, who played Daniel Ellsberg in last week's The Post, is Lloyd Vogel. Tom Hanks plays Mr. Rogers. Both seem a bit disinterested here, maybe a mite embarrassed at what they signed up for. Understandable. Susan Kelechi Watson is fine as the worried wife. She too struggles to overcome the material, and her dialogue is especially atrocious. Chris Cooper is okay as the screwed-up father. He doesn't succeed in creating a character who we care about, but his words were written by the same hacks who wrote the rest of it. Enrico Colantoni does nice work as a former Politico who is now Mr. Rogers' henchman. Mr. Rogers' henchman. I smell a sequel. The wonderful Christine Lottie does nice work in a few quick scenes as the editor, and two familiar faces from the Broadway stage play supporting roles. Marianne Plunkett, best known for Me and My Girl, is Mrs. Rogers. And Tammy Blanchard of Gypsy and How to Succeed fame is Lloyd's sister. As alluded to earlier, the screenplay by Micah Fitzerman-Blue and Noah Harpster is flat-out terrible. The dialogue never for a moment reaches even the level of pedestrian. It ranges from flat to bland to cliched, and some solid actors simply can't overcome it. Direction by Mariel Heller is slightly better, but fails to find any kind of footing or focus, falling back on goopy sentiment and empty spiritual gobbledygook instead of actual characterization and storytelling. Most infuriating about It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood is its insistence that main character Lloyd Vogel is broken. He's driven, occasionally impolite. He works too hard sometimes. He pisses people off by doing a job where you have to piss people off to do a good job. He doesn't like his dad because the guy abandoned the family, abused and cheated on mom, and is still an idiot. Last week's film was also about journalists. Ben Bradley and Ben Bagdikian were portrayed as what they were and what good journalists are. They are folks who dig and dig and ask and cajole and miss soccer games and birthdays and smoke too much and don't eat right, and their families sometimes feel neglected, not because they are broken, but because they are passionate, dedicated, and feel a sense of duty. Like many artists, they do it not because they want to, but because they have to. Bradley and his team of reporters weren't broken, and fortunately, those artists responsible for the Post didn't feel the need to fix them. Yes, the 2019 film It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood actually is about a hero who was never actually broken. My score, 1, Hank.
Well, there you go. It seems that you can't make everybody happy with a movie about Mr. Rogers. I found this a real tough slog, a real tough movie to watch because I went from I think in the framing device on the Mr. Rogers set and the fact that that all of the a vast number of the exteriors and establishing shots were done with little toy miniatures, little miniature cities and little miniature bridges and little toy cars to kind of evoke the opening credits of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I found that every time it was one of those shots happened, it pulled me out of the movie and made me feel silly for watching it. I think that while Tom Hanks' performance was great, it wasn't a good Fred Rogers impression. He came across a lot more as like Reverend Lovejoy from The Simpsons than Fred Rogers. He just seemed a little pious and a little Presbyterian or something to me. But
I'm not sure, but it almost seems like maybe Hanks at some point hosted Saturday Night Live and might have played Mr. Rogers, and this portrayal feels more like a sketch comedy sketch portrayal than a motion picture portrayal.
Every time the puppets showed up, I found myself just wishing I could leave the room. And I have this reaction to people playing with puppets all the time. Maybe it's my own personal thing that I think that puppetry is an embarrassing art form, and it makes me uncomfortable to watch people do it. A grown man with a sock on his hand talking in a falsetto voice just makes me want to kill myself. So I didn't enjoy it. There's some very reliable actors in this movie who I think, tried their best. The whole movie to me was like watching a drunk guy cross an icy street. You're just kind of going, oh no, oh, look out. I was uncomfortable the entire time. And, I feel like I don't know any more about Fred Rogers than I did going into it.
Exactly.
He always seemed to be a strange enigma when he was on television, and he remains an elusive enigma now. I don't know, there's even parts of the movie where they ask him personal questions, and he just sort of diffuses the question every time. Just sort of, isn't that? Yeah, I don't. It's
exactly. Kent. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the movie Sully, and you said that you really have a tremendous appreciation for anyone who takes their job seriously and works hard and shows up and is dedicated to their job.
Yeah.
And that's the Vogel character, the reporter, the investigative reporter in this movie. And yet he's treated as being all screwed up, broken, you know, and a mess. And I mean, he's just a guy who cares about his job and does a good job.
But Trace, you have to understand, he can't bring himself to talk about his bunny. And so obviously something's very wrong with him, because he can't sit in a hotel room with another adult and talk about the fuzzy little bunny he had when he was a boy.
And now that I've watched the DVD extras of Sully, where Sully talks to his bunny in the cockpit, you know, yeah. I do understand that. So yes.
All right. Kevin, you haven't said a word this time. I think your mic's broken. What happened?
I'm just, you know, listening to the old, you know, black-hearted curmudgeons again that destroy all joy with everything in life, with their cynical view of how people are with each other. You know, I just did, you know, enjoy your little, you know, concrete hatred spousal that you do once in a while. So no, it's I disagree with both of you on a lot of this. I think I don't believe that Vogel was the hero and he was doing a good job and he was just a hardworking guy who was, you know, seen as broken. He was the one who said he was broken. Nobody else did. And Mr. Rogers in the movie didn't say he was broken. He said, "I don't think you're broken." And so I disagree with your assessment that he was a broken character. I agree with Mr. Rogers. I don't think he was broken. I think he was struggling with what was going on in his life and he was trying to figure it out. And just like everybody else is, like all of us are. So I found him to be an interesting character, but I didn't think he was misplaced. And I thought that the way he played Mr. Rogers was really good. If you read some of the stuff about the movie, Fred Rogers' wife said that Tom Hanks was the best person to play her husband. And he did a good job with that. I agree. It was a little Saturday Night Live-y, a little bit, but I mean, gosh, how do you get Fred Rogers done just right? He was a Presbyterian minister, which is why he came across as kind of Presbyterian in his speeches. So well done, Tom, and well done, writers, because they captured the guy. He was known in his interviews. One of the things that Fred Rogers did all the time was it was difficult to interview because he wouldn't answer the questions. He was more interested in trying to get to know the person he was interviewing. So he was a very unique guy. He was a very interesting guy, just very different from so many people. I thought that the puppets were, I agree that most of the time puppetry is a bit of an odd thing, but, you know, I grew up with Mr. Rogers and found those were some memories I had of how that was done. I liked the way they used the fake set of the houses and stuff, the little toy.
Yeah.
Stuff. I thought that was a great way to transition things because it carried it back to the show and your memories about Mr. Rogers. So I learned a lot about Mr. Rogers in this, and it gave me some memories, kind of some memories of emotions going back, but not too much. I've want to hear what you have to say, but one last thing. I've never had a movie before where I thought a character in the movie was like one of us, and I thought Lloyd was very much like Trace.
I was a journalist for a while, and so you know I definitely identify with that character, and I identified with the guys in the post.
And I don't think you're broken. You're just a black-hearted curmudgeon. That's very different.
It's very, very different from broken. It's much worse.
You're a high-functioning sociopath heart, and you know that's perfectly fine.
Way worse than broken.
here's one thing that occurred to me. I grew up watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Well, I watched it as a kid, and I grew up in that era when it was on TV, and sort of in its heyday. And it occurred to me in watching this that there was something about the show I never understood, and I'd completely forgotten about it until I watched this movie. So at the beginning of every episode, he comes into the house, which you assume is his home, because he comes in and takes off his sports coat and hangs it up in the closet and takes off his work shoes and puts on sneakers and he puts on a cardigan and sits down and says, "Oh, I'm here to see you. Hey, neighbor," and it does the whole show. And then at the end of it, a half an hour later, he puts his work shoes back on and puts his sports coat back on and then leaves his house. Where the hell is he going? I don't understand. He's gotten home from work.
I think you're working too hard to suspend your disbelief.
I wonder, every time I would see it as a kid, I was like, why is he putting his shoes back on? Why is he getting his suit back on? And I had forgotten about being confused as a kid about that until I watched the movie. And I was like, yeah, look, he's putting his jacket back on. What's going on?
It's a well-known fact that Fred Rogers, he never slept. He never slept ever in his life. And that's he would come home and just, you know, spend half an hour at home, and then he'd go back out.
He'd go back to work. Yeah.
He did, in fact, live there, but he never slept. He never slept.
Well, I don't think you ever saw his bathroom or his bedroom in that house.
He didn't need one. It had something to do with not sleeping.
He did have a stolen traffic light in that house too. I think.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm glad that somebody enjoyed the movie. It makes me happy that if one person can get joy out of something, that lifts us all up. So I'm glad for Kevin that he enjoyed this movie.
I'm very concerned that this is going to be the new Money Pit, and you know, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood is much longer.
Not at all. Course, I'm not saying it was as good as the Money Pit. I'm just saying it wasn't this black-hearted curmudgeon that you guys have made it out to be. It was fine. It was a fine movie. I wouldn't watch it again.
Listeners are going to be as excited about taking that shot of whiskey every time you say it's a beautiful day. Seems to be something sort of wrong about that.
There is. They can have some sacramental wine or a nice glass of iced tea.
Yeah. Oh boy. Well, folks, next week we're going to be taking a bus trip. We're going to be all getting on board the old Greyhound, and I'm assuming this is a movie about
cross-country trek.
Passenger coach bus service.
It's a Paul Greengrass film about the time when pirates from Terre Haute, Indiana hijacked a bus.
It's the Tom Hanks version of The Mystery of the Traveling Pants.
Oh, very good.
Very exciting. This is, after all, a Tom Hanks musical. I think we should talk about the music.
Yes, we will talk about the music. Quite a lot of singing, and he got serenaded on a subway train at one point as well.
So, what do we want to say about it? There's not a lot musically to say about it. It was a lot of the Fred Rogers style of songs, and there was a bunch of them done. There you go. The soundtrack was not particularly noteworthy, and it was mostly matching the Mr. Rogers show. So I didn't find the music. I thought the music was really good. I mean, as far as the songs that Mr. Rogers wrote, I mean, I can never, he's kind of like Frank Sinatra. Ready for that? The Frank Sinatra here's why. When Frank sings, you can never really tell his phrasing or his pausing. You can't really sing along with Frank. You can't really sing along with Mr. Rogers either, because it doesn't really have a pacing or a timing that you can go with. So the only exception is the theme song, which everybody knows, but all those little ones that he kind of made up and did along on his own, I was like, you can't. There's no real hook, you know?
Yeah. So
I thought that was interesting.
So what other podcasts in the universe can you hear Mr. Rogers accused of practicing Munchausen by proxy and compared to Frank Sinatra?
Exactly.
What other podcast gives you that?
Oh, yeah. We're putting it out there, Joe Rogan. Try to top that.
By the way, next week, Neil deGrasse Tyson will be on our show, followed by Frank Sinatra's niece.
Dr. Joyce sisters. All right, well.
And the Wachowski sisters.
Yeah, we're going to leave you this week with a song reminding you to be a good neighbor. A little original musical styling by our musical director, Kevin Dennis. We hope you enjoy it. Please tune in next week for Greyhound, which is actually some sort of a World War II movie, I think. I don't think it actually has a lot of buses in it, but yeah, that's our next movie up. We hope that you guys enjoyed this week's show. We hope that you will tune in next week. Tell a friend. And we'll see you next time. Thanks a lot.
This is not an original. This is just an arrangement. This song was written by Fred Rogers. with a lot of liberties taken by me on this version. So arranged by Kevin Dennis.
I always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, won't you be, won't you be, won't you be my neighbor? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you be my neighbor?
Well, you made it through another episode of Hanks a Lot, the Tom Hanks podcast. Our show is recorded and mastered at Cliffside Studios in Spokane, Washington. Your hosts are Trace Oakley, Kevin Dennis, and me, Kent Schell. Please send corrections, comments, and indecent proposals to hankspodcast@gmail.com. Tom Hanks has not been consulted or compensated and knows nothing about what goes on here. All music used on the show is composed and performed by our own Mr. Kevin Dennis. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends. Come back next week and bring your sister. And please rate and review us on your favorite podcast catcher. Hanks for the sport, and goodbye.